Hey friends, welcome to the Next Step Leadership Podcast, a conversation dedicated to helping you make your next step your best step. I'm Tracy Reynolds, and my partner for the Next Step journey is Chris Maxwell. Together we hope to inspire, assist, and create the confidence you need to take your next step in your personal growth, spiritual growth, vocation, or even your calling. Thanks for joining us. Well, come on, let's dive into this week's episode of Next Step Leadership.
Hello, welcome again to Next Step Leadership Podcast. Chris Maxwell and Tracy Reynolds. Tracy, talk to us about our guest today.
Well, I am always excited and thrilled to have Dan Ryland with us. This is actually, Dan, you're a repeat customer, man. This is second time, and I'm sure there'll be others, but a little bit about Dan. He's been a pastor and leader for more than 40 years, and he's only 25. I don't know how he did that. He served as executive pastor with John Maxwell, and for the past 20-plus years, he's been with Kevin Myers as executive pastor at 12 Stone Church, a network of churches in the Atlanta area. He's invested in thousands of church leaders through church consulting, executive coaching, his books. On Monday morning, I know I'm going to have a great blog, and I have one from just this morning from Dan. He's written over 24 books, and he and his wife, Pam, live in suburbia, not too far from us in North Georgia. And we just want to say welcome back to the podcast, Dan Ryland.
Man, it's so good to be back with you both, Chris and Tracy. It's a delight. I appreciate the opportunity, and I'm looking forward to a great conversation.
Well, we are too. And Dan, before we dive into that, the conversation we're planning today, I just want to thank you at a conference that I was a part of recently, and you were one of the speakers. Just the impact that you had on the audience. Mm. You know, as a speaker, I always love to see how other speakers, connect with the audience that they're talking to, and everybody was listening to you. Everybody was taking notes. I mean, I have notes all over my phone. It's like you were saying something that was relevant to pastors, to people involved in church leadership or church service in a variety of paid positions, volunteer positions. And you were just giving us hope. I mean, you were wise and funny at the same time. but thank you, because we need voices like you speaking into the lives of today's leaders. And so please know that you, in that situation, but also in many ways, you're making a great impact. And Tracy and I are honored to be able to have this conversation with you again.
Well, thank you, Chris. That's very encouraging. And it was a lot of fun to be there. It really was.
Well, I'm going to dive right in.
All right.
In our soundbite kind of microwave society, how do we foster a durable and what I'll just call it crockpot faith and relationship with Jesus that's long term and not this short term kind of thing? How do we do that?
Yeah, you know, just yesterday, our up and coming new succession senior pastor Jason Berry just preached. I mean, I guess that's an old fashioned word. I don't know what the right word is. He talked. He spoke. He gave a He did a thing on Sunday, and he talked about that instant society, that everything has to be instant, and that's not. We talked about the fruit of the Spirit, and it's just not. It's not an instant thing. So you're right. It's a crockpot. It's a lifelong thing. And I don't know. I always attach what I call the two impossible words to leaders. The two impossible words I think that address this are slow down, It's just they feel impossible,
yeah.
But they're really necessary, and I think it's difficult to slow down because of legitimate demands. You know, the stuff we put on ourselves, the things that are required from us. You know, pace and pressure—that's a big topic. But I think the key to take that somewhere, because I'm sure that's not you. That's not a new thought. Slow down, but I think the key is learning how to gain margin, and then learning how to use the margin wisely. I think a lot of us don't know how to gain margin. How do you in the micro, in the weekly, in the monthly? But then what we do, I've done it. I got some margin and I blew it. You know, it's like that was brilliant, and So I think part of that then is in that, in those margins that we gain, it's learning, it's slowing down enough, two things, slowing down enough to listen and close enough to want to obey. You know, there's a thing we talk, you know, obedience is part of discipleship, but I think you have to want to obey.
Right.
And what I've learned over the years is it's kind of like a piece of chocolate cake at night, you know, I have to be disciplined. I have to, you know, I want to be obedient. I want to have that discipline to not eat it. But I actually, just the negative thing isn't enough. Just the discipline, just the obedience, that's not enough. I have to want health more than I want the cake. Yeah. You have to want something more. I have to want Jesus more. I have to want to obey, or the other temptations, they're going to win.
You know, sometimes I find myself with my best, most honest prayer, actually, Dan, being, Lord, I want to want what you want.
Yes, yes.
You know, and that might be the starting place if I don't have enough of the desire to do that.
Well, just let me say yes, like loudly yes, to your statement about slowing down enough to listen. I think that is vital in our hurry to get there. What are we going to do next? I don't have time to think about it. Culture. We need to pause. We need to just slow the pace and listen well. I have conversations with students a lot about, okay, we have one mouth, we have two eyes, we have two ears. let us listen well and see what's actually around us before we say too much too quickly.
Yeah.
Let's listen well. I loved hearing you say that.
Well, Dan, you've been in ministry over 40 years. And I want you to think back on your life a bit and highlight some of the keys to sustainability and longevity for both you and your wife, Patty.
Yeah, I love this question. You know, one of the things that is a great concept. The first time I ever heard it was with Kevin and I were talking about it. Pastor Kevin, the founding senior pastor at Trollstone, and it's the intersection of the speed of love and the speed of life and the speed of love. And it's just this great concept. It's a simple little thing that, you know, can draw it on a board. You know, the speed of life, that's kind of an arrow upward. You know, go as fast as you can, do as much as you can, accomplish as, you know, go. Why? Who's, we have a meaningful life. We have the great commission before us. We want to see people's lives changed by, go, don't, you know, make another phone call, right? Just next. And yet that by itself is obviously an unwise choice. And there's the speed of love, and that's a completely different axis. Mm-hmm. And that's time to play, time to love, time to care, time to, I think it's difficult for us to manage those two lines and where do they intersect? Because every family is different. Every family system is different. Every leader is different. We can't put our stuff on somebody else, but we have to be mindful of where we are. And I don't think I test the system with Patty, or she and I, by how fast can we go. It's can we slow down enough at the right times to love and be loved and be known. And that's always a big thing for us. Is we talk about that language, speed of life, speed of love, and how, when do we need to slow down? What is that rhythm? What is that healthy thing? Because left on our own accord, she's a goer, she's a doer too. Left on our own accord, we're going to just blaze the speed of life one. So we have to tell ourselves, you know, along those lines or inside that, there's two things that we've learned. I'll say one that I've learned and then one that we, we practice together. I think the biggest takeaway, since this isn't an hour talk on marriage here, is three words: let it go. I want to win. Patty wants to win. We're both a little bit stronger personalities, but just for me, just let it go. The fusses and the fights and the little thing, you know, or as I like to say, you know, intense fellowship.
Yeah, that's a nice way to put it.
Yeah, ever had that, Chris, Tracy?
Yeah. Little, oh, yeah.
A little intense fellowship.
You know? I think once, yeah.
Just one time. but man, let it go. Now, are there some things that you can't let go? Of course, but that's like one in 50. Just let it go. And the other one that we practice, we actually talk about it a good bit because we are more type A type, you know. And we call it, we get into this thing we call lawyer language. Hmm. And where the lawyer language is, no, that's not what you said, you know, at 9:30, closing, it's like closing arguments. Like, oh my gosh, what are you doing, you know? And so we catch it and we say, okay, stop. We got to move from the courtroom language to courtship language.
Oh,
and we'll just say it. And that's our little check. And those two little hooks and handles for us really help.
That's so good. Well, in the same kind of vein, some of the obstacles, I mean, obviously you can have the right intentions and you've got the good tools in your tool belt, you're using these strategies. What are some obstacles that you can identify that you've learned to overcome kind of along the way through your journey?
Yeah. Well, that question almost makes me chuckle a little bit because I'm the obstacle.
So we got to overcome Dan. I got it.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I'm my own worst
enemy,
problem, whatever. And I'm actually serious. So I'm always kind of mindful of that. Because I'm very blessed and God is good to me, and then I mess it up, and then, you know. But so, big picture, to give context for a couple quick thoughts, is, well, you know, I'm fairly driven, firstborn type, you know, A and all that stuff, and high standards, but I still have trouble saying no. But I've learned, and I'm still learning, the right way and the better way. And the good news is I've made a lot of progress. But younger, I think a lot of stuff for me, the obstacles. Younger, I think I was plagued with a good bit of insecurity and, you know, stories there we don't have to climb into. Can, but I don't think we have time. But I think God has just done this enormously wonderful thing over the years to reduce that greatly. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I've learned, too, now in later years, is there's a huge difference. I love talking about this. There's a huge difference between an insecure moment and an insecure person. You know, I think anybody who's a leader, well, of course we have an insecure moment. We're taking people in new places we haven't gone before. We're doing new things. We're making new decisions. We're, you know, you can sit, you know, in your study and have this great sermon. Then you're going to actually face people, you know,
right.
Or you have this great vision that, and then you sit before the board, you go, boy, I don't know if this is so good, you know? And so you have an insecure moment. But that's not the same as an insecure leader. And I think that thought for me leads to the difference between, you know, just because you don't know what to do in the moment doesn't mean you don't know what you're doing. And so those things have helped me along the way. And then I think one other is performance. That's a great, that's an obstacle, you know, and just that performance kind of a thing. And I think God is really taking me, like, you know, light years from where I was. But this is an interesting thing, and I'll end with this. The one that's taking me the longest to overcome is not performance with people. It's performance with God. And I just, that's just the most curious thing. Where it's, you know, used to be kind of more of a checklist. I'm more of a, you know, my early Christian life, more of a dutiful soldier, to, you know, have your prayer time, and rather than just a relationship with God. And it's so wonderful now to, I won't say arrive, because I certainly haven't, but to have moved way over on that side rather than a checklist with, you know, I'd have my prayer today, you know, that kind of a thing. Yeah.
Oh, that's so good.
Yeah.
Well, I have a history with some of your work. I had lunch last week with a guy who reminded me. I'd actually forgotten that David had been a part of a Joshua's Men group. And he's saying to me, hey, I remember, and it was like 15 years ago or more than that. He says, we went through this year of, and he reminded me, he was telling me all about it. And I said, I actually do remember that, David. But he was telling me about how that was so formative to him, that he had gone through a difficult time, Dan, and he was just referring back to the scriptures and some of the principles and some of the practices that we had and the books that we'd read and the conversations that we'd had and how that got him through some tough days, actually of depression. So I want to think back to, so that started with you well over 20 years ago. You began you developed a tool that you had used in your own mentoring of men. But take us back to the genesis of that, because I'm grateful because I got to use some of that in helping men and still do meet with groups of men every year. But what was the catalyst that's had you to start those kinds of groups specifically with men?
Yeah. I love that you brought it up. Actually, it was something that I got to launch just scribbling something down on a piece of paper in 1987, wow. If you can believe that, and had no idea that God would put that in thousands of churches and tens of thousands of guys would have gone through. And it's crazy. We're 21 years of doing it at 12 Stone Church now. And but to your question, Tracy, I was literally on a flight from San Diego to Colorado Springs. Yeah, I don't know if you guys, Chris and Tracy, if you know that Glen Eyrie, you know that place there. And thought you might. And for a retreat with a small group of leaders. That was back in the day when Leadership Network was just forming, and the idea of a non-agenda roundtable was unheard of. You know, and now roundtables, you know, everybody's mom has a roundtable. Everybody does that stuff. You know. But. God's just, he said something to me. He said, John Maxwell, John is developing the leaders who are in seat. John is developing the leaders who are leading the church. I want you to develop the next generation. I want you to develop the ones who aren't leading yet. Thus the Moses Joshua thing, the next gen. And so that was actually where it started. Just that who's going to pour into the next. But what was connected to that is something I deeply believe in. I think one-to-one discipleship is really good, but I've always been a groups guy.
Yeah.
Always. And so I just personally believe, nothing against one-on-one, but I just truly believe that we grow best in community.
Right.
I think it's tough to do life alone. And so that kind of, and I think there's power we learn from each other. So that group model, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9 guys is just a powerful thing. And then the last one is I've experienced so much value in being developed that's produced a passion for others to do the same. So that's the short version, but that's what's behind it.
Well, I want you to know that you're work in that from 1987 is still making a difference today. And I'm glad you listened to that voice, because there were people like me who just needed a tool like you. I had the desire and the passion. Yeah. And I so see the value of community and a handful of people that are doing life together, being real and authentic and encouraging each other, which I think that's about 99% of what accountability is anyway, is encouraging. So thank you. Yeah. Thank you so much for doing that.
Can I mention something really quick?
You know,
the Enjoy, back in the old days, remember the cassette tapes?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
if you're a younger listener, you can Google that. But anyway, with cassette tapes. So, you know, we published that through Enjoy a million years ago, and then it was done again. I think I did about 22 kits, as they called them, and they're all done and should be done, but this one just didn't die. It just wouldn't die. And so it was redone on CDs, and then out of their generosity, they gave it to 12 Stone. We've redone it twice. It's all now for free on the church website. It's like a couple hundred pages. It's all up to date. Everything is new. Everything is fresh. So if any church wants it, it's all that curriculum is free, the whole year of it. Is available to any leader who wants it.
Well, thank you. And I will link to that in the show notes for you.
Yeah, that's good. Well, speaking of good, it's great to have these conversations with you again. So we will end this one, but we'll have another one with you for next week. And Dan, again, it's great to see you through the screen. It's great to hear your voice. And And I'm thinking, as Tracy was asking a couple of those questions and you were answering, Tracy was talking about how he was influenced by what you had said to him. And I'm thinking about the many people Tracy's influenced. And this is the example of the body of Christ, us learning to lead, not in the singular, but in the plural, us being groups of people coming to the table and realizing that God is calling every one of us for such a time as this to live in the plural, not the singular, but to be together and then look for ways together to make our next steps our best steps.
Thanks for joining us on Next Step Leadership, a weekly conversation dedicated to your personal growth and leadership development. Chris and I are so glad you joined us. You can find us on your favorite podcast providers. Do us a favor and hit subscribe. And if you really want to help us, give us a rating. We so appreciate your support. Check out our show notes for more information regarding guest contact information. Tracy Reynolds' new book, Second Chair Leadership, How to Serve, Thrive, and Lead from Where You Play, is available now at ctracyreynolds.com or Amazon. Chris Maxwell's 11th book, Equilibrium, 31 Ways to Stay Balanced on Life's Uneven Surfaces, is available now at chrismaxwell.me or Amazon, where you can find all of Chris's previous books as well. Our featured music is by Casual Americans. You can find their musical releases at casualamericans.com or your favorite music supplier. We release Next Step Leadership each Thursday, so join us again next week on the Next Step Journey, a conversation dedicated to helping you make your next step your best step. Things fail.